Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, I have watched you preach, and I know that it is an intense experience for you because you care passionately about the things that you teach and you preach about, and that evokes a great deal of emotion in you.
So yeah, I've seen that in you too, and yeah. I love that about you, that you're so involved that emotions flow freely when you're preaching.
But now this last weekend, you were crying before the sermon.
Yeah. I don't know if this
was it,
has
were ever you happened. Were you afraid? Was it fear?
No, it wasn't fear. This is what happened. I went to a small community that actually has started a group, and they were advertising a lot that there was a speaker from Voice of Prophecy coming in, and they brought family and friends. The thing is that the whole little place they had was packed. And when I entered, I felt this love in this community that very seldom have I seen. They were so loving with each other, hugging each other, and joyful. And in the moment I stepped in, I felt loved and appreciated and welcome in a way that it was different for me. I was overwhelmed with their sense of unity. And it's like the presence of the Holy Spirit was almost palpable in this place. And they were all with great smiles and big hugs, not those superficial hugs that sometimes you get. And so when I got up to preach, I had tears coming out of my eyes. I had to explain. I said, you know, I don't usually cry at the beginning of my sermon, but I have felt literally overwhelmed by your love and the unity and the joy that you have expressed for each other and for me and my husband was with me. And I said, I have to tell you that the Holy Spirit is present in this place. And I know that you know the gospel of Jesus Christ, because usually when you accept the gospel, a community of love like this is formed.
That is the key. I think one of the strongest indicators that the Holy Spirit has his hand upon any movement or any group, any body of believers, any church, is the love that they have for each other. And that feeling of openness and acceptance. And that is so powerful. In fact, I think that that's really the reason that the first century church grew so rapidly in the face of persecution. They couldn't hold a lot of public meetings to proclaim because they'd be arrested. But when people saw the love they had for each other, they were drawn to that kind of an experience, saying, how can I get some of this? How can I be a part of this where I'm loved and accepted like you guys are?
You know, the other day I was watching a program that you did on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and you brought Steve Darmody to do the song. And he sang a song that said, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And that line just stuck with me, because in a community of Christians, usually what attracts a person is the way they feel when they're in that community. And they said, well, I want to come back because these people have something that makes them treat me this way, and I want to be part of this.
Well, people want to belong. They want to know that they are accepted, that there's a place there for them. And certainly that experience of love with Christ is what makes them feel that way. And Paul begins to address this with the believers in Thessalonica in chapter 2.
Now, if you remember when we gave you the background, this was a church that started and Paul had to leave right away because of persecution. So they had very limited Christian teachings, but they understood enough of the gospel that they created this community of love, and they kind of hang together during this sufferings and opposition. And now Paul starts opening up, talking about how much he desires to be with them and how much he's missing them and the deep longing he's feeling for this community.
Verse 17, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while, in person, not in spirit, we were all the more eager with great desire to see your face, for we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan himself hindered us.
Now, sometimes you feel that Paul wouldn't have need of being with other people. You know, sometimes people say, well, I already understand the Bible. Why would I want to be part of a community? Why do I need to go to church? And this is the part that they don't understand. What happens when we get together corporately and in community, the magic of a support group and of other people that are actually worshiping with you, the same God that you worship? And here, Paul, who is an apostle, He mm-hmm. is with this great desire. We're in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and Mike just read 17 and 18, and there's a particular word there that I want to highlight as at the end of verse 17. Yeah. We're all the more eager with great desire.
Mm-hmm.
This word is usually translated negatively as lust in the New Testament and is usually condemned.
It's almost an obsession with someone else.
Yes.
That desire, when someone is addicted to pornography today.
For example.
Right.
Yes.
You know, that lust, that desire is just captivating. They can't get away from it,
yes.
so to speak.
But Paul goes back to the original sense, which is this fierce passion, this intense desire mm-hmm. that I have to just see you and be in your community again. And then he starts using some very interesting words to explain how he's feeling. For example, at the beginning, having been taken away actually yeah. is the word orphaned.
Mm-hmm.
Having been orphaned from you. Like I'm this child that I was taken away from the parents.
Yeah, that's right. He wanted to be with them so desperately. You can think of a child. My father-in-law was an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent his entire life wondering what his mom and dad would be. He had faint memories of his mother holding him in her arms. Faint memories of that is all he had. And so when he died and was cremated, he wanted his ashes to be scattered on his mother's grave,
oh.
which is what we did. So, I mean, that longing for him to be back with her never left him. That's what Paul is expressing here.
Yes, yes, because the actual literally says that, I have been orphaned from you. And usually mm-hmm. Paul is portrayed as the father or the mentor of the communities. In this case, he's the orphan.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to be with them so badly. And then he starts talking about that he holds them in high esteem. They are his joy now and all the way to this one word that we mentioned in our previous broadcast. That is the first time it appears in the New Testament, actually. I don't know if you want to talk about the parousia.
Parousia, which is a word that is, of course, used to refer to an official state visit by a king, the appearing, the coming of the king, and now here it's used to refer to Jesus Christ, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, who is coming again for us, his official appearance.
And if we believe that 1 Thessalonians is the first book written in the New Testament, then chapter 2, verse 19 is the first occurrence of the word parousia, which will become not just a royal visit like the society used it for, but for the royal visit of the Lord in the second coming. So from there on in the New Testament is used for the hope that we have that Jesus is coming again.
The second coming, verse 19, for who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? And that's the word that we're talking
parousia.
About here, parousia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For you are our glory and joy.
So Paul tells them, look, I'm like an orphan. I have this great desire to be with you, but I have you in such high esteem that you are our crown, our joy, and now and all the way to the second coming. This is the way we feel about you.
This crown mentioned here is not a crown like given to a king. This is a victor's wreath, as in an athletic competition. He says that's how he feels about them. That's what you are. We feel like that.
The trophy. You're our trophy. Yeah.
You're our trophy, and that's why we're so passionate about you.
And then we come to a place where he's talking about Timothy in his mission and how glad he is to receive his report, because Timothy was sent by Paul when he had to leave. Remember that we mm-hmm. told you there was opposition. Paul goes to Athens. Timothy is sent to Thessalonica or Thessalonica. Mm-hmm. And then Paul goes to Corinth. And when Timothy comes back, I've been to all these places, and Corinth and Athens are very close.
Right.
And he goes to Corinth. Timothy comes back with a report and finds Paul in Corinth. And now he's going to talk to him, to them, about how glad he was on Timothy's report.
Well, even verse 6, this is, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith.
And it's very interesting because then Paul breaks out in this prayer on verse 11. And there's many things that Paul could be praying about. But he prays that God will bring them together again
mm-hmm.
and that God will overflow this new community and increase their love so that they can have even a more loving community. I mean, this is such a beautiful prayer on verse 11 and 12.
Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God. And he goes on there, but he's talking now about this desire for love. Jesus is the one who said, this is how they're going to know you're my disciples. And the answer to that question is simply in that you have love one for another.
You know, it's interesting because he called it a new commandment. We're reading on John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. So this loving community is actually the sign that Jesus lives on this earth when he goes to heaven, so that people will understand Christianity and understand who he is. It's the community of believers.
In the same book, chapter 17, he continues with this, I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me here where I am, so that they may see my glory. So he's talking here about the relationship of love between the Father and the Son, and how that is to be permeated throughout the relationship between fellow believers on earth. This is how people are to know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is the blessing that Jesus prayed for his disciples, and that Paul wanted the fellow believers to have, that they have love for one another. You want to get ready for the parousia? Fall in love with each other. Demonstrate the love of Christ towards you in the way you treat others.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.